This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you from our studios here at the Metropolitan Tabernacle, 501 Opelousas Avenue in New Orleans, Louisiana. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer. Yes, we've been here for quite a while now, bringing you God's message on various and sundry subjects, and we're looking now at the soon coming of our blessed Lord. Are you looking for the Lord, my friend? Are you? The Lord's coming back, and I believe it'll be soon. And we're looking today, the heading of our subject is the reality. We looked at the surety of His coming. We looked at the fact of His coming. And we looked at the certainty of His coming. But we're looking today at the reality of His coming. I wish you'd sit and listen. And then if you would, write me. And I have all these messages on cassette tape. I'll quote you a price on the whole series. It'd be 15, 20, maybe 30 messages on this particular subject. The soon return of our blessed Lord. Let's get into our message this morning, and we'll give you our mailing address a little later on. Today, the average preacher is only a moral officer in the church. Now, I don't want you to take offense at that, but I've looked and I've studied the average preacher today. To him, it's not a commission from heaven to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to dying people. No, it's a matter of building up His church. I ask, how have folks come here in the storehouse or here to my office on Saturdays? Many times I'm here studying. Preachers come here to the bookstore looking for good sound books. And they come, I go out there where they are, and they say, "Preacher, how many members you got?" Well, my friend, that's the least problem I have. How many members you have? I'm not attempting to build a great work here. No, I'm not. I'm not attempting to tell folks how to get along with their neighbors. No, just marrying the young and burying the dead and collect the salary. No, I'm not interested in those things, but that's what the average pastor today does. I drive out in the country oftentimes, and I see a little church out there somewhere, a big church sitting out there on the hill. Not a car there during the week, not any activity going on. Only on Sunday morning, a few cars there on Sunday night. We here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, where I pastor, we're here every day. We have a large printing ministry where we get out the gospel. We have God's storehouse for the needy. We have folks visiting the sick. We have folks witnessing, taking the pastor's booklets and visiting the nursing homes and the prisons and the jail and the average person on the street. And that's what we do. We are up and about the Lord's business, preaching the gospel. The Lord called me to preach here. He said, "Go forth and preach the gospel. Be instant in season and out of season." I take that as meaning to call sin, sin. That's what the old Trailblazer has a reputation of calling sin, sin. I don't preach how to get along with folks. My message, God's message, is offensive. And I'm disappointed if my message doesn't offend somebody. Oh, I marry the young, sure, and I bury the dead. But so many of our pastors now, it's a job. It's a job. They get paid to marry the young. They get paid to bury the dead. They get paid to do this and do that and the other. They collect a salary. They draw their breath. And many times let their congregation go out into eternity lost. By the way of introduction, let me give you the position of a God-called pastor as set forth in God's Word as he walks before his people and leads them. Now, pastor, if you're listening, if you're hearing this message, perk up your ears and listen. First, according to 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering. Now, that's God's Word. That's the verbally inspired Word of God. A God-called pastor is to reprove. That is to lay blame or to rebuke or to persuade or to convict or to disclose the heart of saint and sinner to lay bare those hearts. Now, my friend, I stand in my pulpit. I wield the sword of God, the Word of God. Folks, when news comes to my ear, individuals shacking up down here somewhere, bringing illegitimate babies in the world, I call their number. I call their name. I do, my friend. Folks are not going to come here and shack up and live like the devil, smoke dope and all of those things, and sit up here under my ministry and call themselves. But no, they're not. My aim and my purpose is that the Lord would take His Word home to their heart. That word rebuke means to sharply reprove or to censor so that individuals are checked and made to think and turn his steps toward the Lord. The God-called pastor will lay aside all of his feelings. Now, my friend, many times, my heart is broken. My heart is broken because I have to wield the sword. And then, listen, I don't court the love or the favor of any man, no. Did you know the pastor is set apart? It's set apart, my friend. I can't go out with the boys on Saturday night or whatever, go to the beach and strip off and go swimming, and then stand in the pulpit and call attention to the fact that they're going to hell? No. No, my friend. I must be able to deliver God's message uncompromisingly. Now, that's a big word, but it means that I don't seek to favor men. I don't go around. When I see someone in the audience that I have to be, watch my word. No, sir, I don't do that. I don't do that. It doesn't matter to me. If President Bush was come into my audience on Sunday morning, I wouldn't change my message. I would congratulate him for the work he's doing and say, we're glad to have you, Mr. President. Just get quiet. Oh, listen. I guess I never was so saddened when President Clinton was in office. And I happened to be watching the news somewhere one night, and President Clinton was walking down the street with his pastor with a little Bible under his arm. And just the day before, he was on the stand denying that he was having an extramarital affair with some woman. And it just made me want to vomit. Listen, old Elijah, when he walked into court there, Ahab's court one day, and delivered God's message, he said, "Thou art the man." Then John the Baptist is another example. When he stood there and rebuked those Pharisees by calling them a generation of vipers, when he stood there before Herod, rebuked him sharply for living with his brother's wife, it cost him his head, my friend. It cost old John the Baptist his head. He was over there sleeping in the prison cell the night after he had told Herod he couldn't have his brother's wife, and then he had a big birthday party, and his wife's daughter, Salome, I believe her name was, danced to please his crowd there, a drunken festival there. And the Bible says she pleased him. Do you know what that means? She danced there in the nude. Oh, listen, my friend. And here her mama told her, said, ask for John the Baptist's head. And she did. And he sent immediately, and had his head cut off. Then again, God's man is to exhort. That is, he's to urge by appeal or by argument that the individual may throw himself on the side of truth and on the side of Christ, and he is to do so with all long-suffering and patience and doctrine, that is, the teaching of God's Word. We don't come here with a lot of blabber and hoopla, and no, we don't do that. He's to wield the Word of God with authority. That's what I do. I hold my Bible up, and I say, this is God's Word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it. Ridicule it. Be a skeptic. Cuss the pastor. Cuss everything. Go to hell for your trouble, my friend. A God-called pastor, according to Titus 1:13, will rebuke sharply. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Then he's to speak with authority. According to Titus 2:15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. I tell my folks here, day after day, Sunday after Sunday, it doesn't bother me what you think of me. No, I love for folks to appreciate me and to love me, those things, but if it doesn't matter if you do, I have folks call me, write me, call me an old crackpot, they call me a speckled bird, they call me an old goofball. But listen, God's messenger stands with a message from heaven. I tell you, folks, be careful when you criticize God's man. God's man brings you a message from the courts of the king, and he's to deliver it regardless of how men may take it. Then, according to 1 Timothy 5:20, he's to rebuke openly them that sin, rebuke before all, and that others may also fear. This is no easy task, my friend. It takes a lot of grace. The average voice today, average pastor, has no voice of authority because he's either afraid of his job, he's afraid of his salary, he's afraid of a little clique in the church, or maybe just an old petticoat over there. An old friend of mine used to be here long years ago. He called an old bell cow. You know what an old bell cow is? Out there when I was a child, when I was a young boy growing up, we had cattle in the woods. And where we found them, we put a bell around the neck of one of them. And we could always hear that bell, jingle, jangle. Well, they called her bell cow because she led the others. And we have old bell cows today. I've seen preachers that couldn't say a word unless he got the okay from an old petticoat who sat out in the audience somewhere. If she nodded her head this way or nodded her head, I've seen preachers whose wife did that thing. My friend, he's afraid of a rotten spot in his life. But what a tragedy. What a tragedy. So it is in regard to the great doctrine of the second coming of our Lord back to earth again. Over 65% of the present day ministry. Now this is a statistic from these church groups, my friend. 65% today do not believe in the imminent or soon coming or the personal return of our Lord Jesus back to earth. The Apostle Peter, by direct revelation, prophesies to this fact in these words, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. If the Bible teaches one fact, and it does, it is a reality of the coming of our Lord Jesus for the second time, or from a sin, apart from a sin offering. Christ said that his coming would be like a thief in the night. It will be to all unsaved religionists and those of the world who do not look for his coming. That's the reason I asked you in the beginning of the service. Are you looking? Are you watching for the Lord's coming? Watch. The Bible says, watchmen, what of the night? Pastors, are you a watchman on the wall? Are you warning your people to get, yes, I started to say get right with the Lord. That's what I want to say. Get right. Get straight. Get straight now with the Lord. How do you do that? By coming to Christ as a poor old sinner. You say, well, I don't see myself as a sinner. Ask the Lord to show you your heart. You tell me you're saved. Like a lady told me one day, I asked her, did she know the Lord? She said, oh, sure. I walked the aisle 40 years ago. I said, lady, I'd make my call and election sure if I were you. I find that day in and day out. Folks think, well, I made a decision back there for Jesus in an old football stadium where some well-known preacher stood on the podium up there and give a call to come down to the front. Well, I made a decision for Jesus. Well, my friend, that's about as worth what you paid for it. Listen now. Listen. That's not salvation. It's not there. You can't tell me it's there. The Lord never called you to make a decision for Jesus. He sure didn't, my friend. That's all of Satan. You say, well, Trailblazer, you're just against everything. No, I'm against it. Error. I'm against error. We're to refute error. That's what I do here about half the time. I preach Christ, and I refute error. And I bring you the unadulterated Word of God day in and day out. And I know folks don't like it. Many folks don't like it. But I wish you'd like it. I wish you'd turn to the Lord. Then you'd like it. If the Lord ever saves you, then you'll like it. You'll call me, write me, email me, whatever, and say, Pastor, thank you for being true to my soul. Well, I have folks do that almost on a regular basis, my friend. Thank you, Pastor, for being true to my soul. This is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I wish you'd sit down and write me. Most of all, pray for me. Tell me you're praying for me. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.